الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة المسورون. رواه شيخين. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. As we have been discussing, just to recap a little bit again and remind ourselves that it has come in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif that the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be meted out to those people who make pictures. And it comes in one hadith also, the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be for three categories of people. There are different narrations. This one says that that person who kills a Nabi, we can imagine what a severe guna, murder is so severe, and the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, or who a Nabi kills. A Nabi also won't just kill like that, but how bad a person's condition must be, then a Nabi kills that person. The second is those people who are leaders and take people to wrong, in the wrong direction. That is also a very dangerous thing, and we all must think, don't just think of like the ulama or somebody. As parents, we are leaders. As teachers in our class, we are leaders. As the principals of our institutes, we are leaders. Everyone, kullukum ra'in, wa kullukum mas'ulun ar-ra'iyatihi. Each one of you is a shepherd and will be asked about his herd. So if we are guiding people to in the wrong direction, there is a severe punishment for that also. And the third will be those people who take pictures and make pictures in whichever form. As we have discussed, we'll just recap it again. So all whatever form of pictures, we can see how severe this guna is, that it is equated with those people who kill a Nabi. So what a terrible guna it is. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect us. And those people, yudahuna bi khalqillah, who try and copy the creation of Allah. That is, they make a picture. Allah created it, or cloning, whatever of that type. It will be said to them that put life now. You made this, now put life. And they won't be able to put life. And then they will be punished very severely for that. Allah protect us all. We had explained, just to go through it briefly again, that in ancient history, that is from the time of Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, when people started making pictures of the pious people, and eventually it led to worshipping those people. Then that led towards idol worship. So that is one of, that is a guna, which shows how severe this thing of making pictures. And yeah, we should just not think of who gave permissibility or not. I myself, if I'm taking pictures, I keep pictures, I'm looking at pictures, even a male who's looking at a male, or a female who's looking at a female, even if they are well dressed, but that also is not permissible, unless a person is helpless, but then too he should make tawbah istighfar. If a person's job is such, like he has to order goods for his company, and he has to go through the catalogue, he has to go on the internet, and unfortunately today everywhere women's pictures. So he's sort of in a condition that he can't help it, but he should avoid still looking at the picture as much as he can, and at the end make tawbah istighfar for that. So that applies to us, that we don't take any pictures, we don't keep any pictures, and we avoid looking at pictures also. We know today how difficult it is. You walk on the street, the billboards, and unfortunately, not only pictures, but pictures of women, and how badly they are dressed. So we have to try our best to avoid all this. And that is, according to the Quran Sharif, has given this historical fact, that this picture making led to idol worship. Allah reward Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadawi rahimahumullah, who explained it in detail, how gradually shaitan got them to take pictures, and then finally brought them onto idol worship. And internationally, not only the Quran, but the whole world, all historians attest to this fact, that by this picture making, they were led to idol worship. So that is enough proof for it to be haram. And the object of this talk is that we don't take photos, nor do we look at them. And this, unfortunately, is one of those sins also that has become so common, and we don't regard it as a sin also anymore. And that makes it a more serious sin, that we don't even regard things. Who of us make Tawbah today in the course of the day? We looked at so many pictures, perhaps we even took a picture, perhaps. But we don't even make Tawbah. We don't think of it as a sin also. And that makes it even more serious. Not to think of a sin as a sin is also a terrible guna. Just like listening to ghibat, that a person who makes the ghibat is totally haram. Equally accomplice to that guna is the one who's listening to that ghibat. Yes, he's sitting there, and even if he dislikes it, but he can get up and go away, he's not going away. He's an accomplice to that. And if there's nobody sitting by the person who's making ribat, then he won't make ribat to who he wants to talk to somebody. There's nobody sitting there. So the taking of photos is also haram, and the looking at photos is also haram. Therefore, we should make tawbah, but unfortunately, we do not think of this as all. So then we also discuss that by name change and method change, it doesn't change reality at all. That picture that was drawn, and today a photo, and we try and make a difference between picture and photo, that's not going to get us anywhere. It is still the same thing which is haram. And the method of making it, before was with a pencil or a pen in your hand, and you sketch the picture. Now with the camera, and now with the cell phone, and the digital photos, whatever method will come till the day of Qiyamah, whatever the method can be, it is also still haram. And the great ulama of the past, they also had the very same view, that this whatever the picture's name you call it, it is still haram. And whichever method you use, it is still haram. Egyptian ulama, with regard to photo and tasweer, they made a difference. And they said that the first photo is permissible because it is not a tasweer. It's not that actual picture. But our ulama, Allah reward them very greatly, and not only our ulama, but even great Egyptian and Arab ulama also refuted it completely, that there is no difference between a picture and a photo. You can call it different names, but it is still the same thing. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi say, it is their mistake that they took both to be the same. In the same way, Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Maulana Shabbir Ahmed Usmani, rahmatullah alayhi, of our ulama, they also said both are the same thing and both are haram. And whichever method is used, it is still haram. Then on the third aspect, that sababul haram, haram. What causes a haram is also haram. Whatever is the cause of a haram, and this is a haram, the photo taking, and it is the cause of a very serious haram, that is idol worship, and immodesty and shamelessness. This is what the photos take a person to. So that makes it even more haram. So there is also a clear proof that by this principle, the photography is also totally haram. And if it was permissible, but it's taking towards idol worship, then too it would have been categorized as haram. If photography was permissible in Islam, but it led to idol worship, it led to shamelessness and immodesty and porn and all the other filth and dirt, then on that basis also, a permissible thing will also be declared as haram. Then the harms of photography, that is also enough to declare it as haram. If photography itself was not haram, if it was permissible, but all the harms that it's causing, on that basis also, it will be declared as totally haram. Like the photos are the parents of the TV. From photos, TV came. And they are the grandparents of the YouTube. And everything that is on the YouTube. And here by the YouTube, that which is all the other filth and dirt, how many filth and dirt there is. Not referring to that, but that YouTube of where ulama appear and they are giving dini bayans. And on the TV also, where deen is spread, that also is totally haram. And the TV itself, that it is such a thing that it leads a person to mental slavery. A person becomes a slave of what is dished out on the TV. And we know what and what wrong things are being said. And unfortunately, like with the COVID, it was so common that it became just a big, it went viral. Today, 8:30, there will be a speech on the on TV that what are the new rules, etc. And people, how they took that, like it is, like Jibreel alayhi salam is coming and he is giving us some new revelation. And how people were so keen to listen. And how they put it, in other words, they just listened to what that is. And everyone was just going by that. What the Quran Sharif says, what Hadith, what the ulama say, that people were not listening to what comes on the TV. And it's mesmerism. It hypnotizes a person. A person becomes so addicted. And then the brains don't function after that. And these are the harms besides dini harms. All the subject material on all this, which comes from the photo, originally the photo which leads to all this, the great dini harm that is caused. For the eyes, if they are glued, what harm it causes to the eyes, the health, psychologically. And this is a thing, which is a very vast subject, and Muslims and non-Muslims are all united on its harms. So this is so on that basis also, that is also sufficient to declare that photos are haram and that we should abstain totally. Today's talk is about, that was ancient history, that in the time of Idris alayhi salatu wasalam and later people started with the photos which led them to idol worship. Today's talk is about a little recent history. That is about plus minus 100 years ago. Perhaps it looks like the first alim to allow photography was an Egyptian alim, a great alim, a very, very learned scholar, Sheikh Muhammad bin Bakhith Muti'i. He was a Hanafi alim. And he was a very well known and a very great scholar. And then he declared that he gave permissibility of photography. Then and he was such an alim that Sheikh Muhammad Zahid Al-Kawthari rahmatullah alayh who is an accepted and acknowledged very great alim. He referred to Sheikh Bakhith as Ayatum min Ayatillah. He was a sign of Allah because of his great knowledge as far as the mazahib are concerned. The four mazhabs, the Hanafi, Shafi, etc. Four mazhabs. And the proofs on any subject. And then all the adilla and the details of it. It was like an open book in front of him. Any masala that you can take, whether it is to make masa on leather socks, whether it is what breaks wuzu, whether it is about the wukuf in Muzdalifa, whatever you can think, all four mazahib, he will present it immediately. And all the proofs and the counter arguments, all that he will present it. On that basis, Allama Al-Kawthari, Zahid Al-Kawthari, said his ayat min ayatillah. When the ulama told him that you praise him so much, you call him ayatu min ayatillah. But with regard to these matters, this photography, what a big blunder has he made. Then Allama Kawthari himself says that he was ayatu with regard to all that other knowledge. But as far as this, kana ghair muwaffiq fin nawazil. That is, in the modern masalas, like photography, which is a new thing that came. Cameras came later. There weren't cameras before. In that thing, he failed completely, miserably. And he did not understand those masail, though he was such a great alim. And like this, very many other great ulama also, but in certain things, they just slipped. And they went in the wrong direction. And who are we to say this? Allah forgive us. We got no right. But these are the words of great, great ulama. Allama Al-Kawthari, he said this. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullahi. Allama Sayyid Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh, great great ulama, we are quoting them. What we have got, no right, Allah forgive us. What knowledge have we got? What piety have we got? What insight have we got? Nothing. We are quoting what those people said about those great ulama. From them, then we find that Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi was known as Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi. And it is famous when ulama speak about him, such a great alim, that he was in the world, unhone ghalghala machaya. In other words, he had a great, great position. His following was so great. His knowledge was also so great. And he was the only alim in the subcontinent who gave permission of photography. Oh, it was common, unfortunately, the guna of photography. But the person to give permission for it, he was the only one who gave permission. And he was such a great alim at the same time. So in his monthly magazine, which was Ma'arif, which should come out from Darul Musannifin in Azamgarh in UP, in the northern part of India, in there, in about 6 months, he was discussing this and giving all his proof why it is permissible. And so such a great alim, and age also, he was very senior. And his knowledge also, he was known. Pure alam mein unka ilmi silsile ka ghalghala macha hua tha. The ulama quote him in that way. But in so with all this, when he gave his fatwa and his explanation, people did not regard photography as haram. And the great harms it was causing in deen, as we have discussed previously, that this photography has taken out the very ruh of our ibadat, of hajj, of umrah, of all ibadat, whether it's qurbani, it has taken out the ruh. And today it is just the outward form of all this which it has left. However, then at that time, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Sahib rahmatullah alayh was a young alim, perhaps about 18 years, where Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi and where Mufti Shafi' Sahib, who just graduated now, but his ustad, Maulana Habibur Rahman, the principal of Darul Uloom Deoband at that time, and Maulana Azaz Ali, his ustad, they told him, you write the reply to Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi. What he is giving, so Mufti Shafi' Sahib rahmatullah alayh, and as a young person, he says himself also that his ilm was still very strong also, and he used some harsh words also in giving the reply. Now, a young person, 18 years old, just graduated, and he was kept as a mu'in ustad, a helper ustad, in other words, trainer ustad at Deoband to train him how to be a teacher. At that time, he wrote the reply. And when one time Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi wrote to him personally and like a discussion over this, he was very hard on his stand also. And he did not waver at all, though he was Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi. What an age difference between the two also. Mufti Shafi' Sahib was not known to anyone at that time. And Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, he was renowned, well, world renowned, especially in the subcontinent, he was known completely. But he stood his very firm on this point. Mufti Shafi' Sahib exclaimed the truth very strongly. And then, but just see also what is a nice history for us. But we must take this lesson. Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, he was very firm on his point also. But then Allah made it, he started going to Maulana Thanwi. rahmatullah alayh for his islah. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayh says also, at one time we were at loggerheads with one another. Two different directions we were. But afterwards, when he started coming to Tana Bowen, changing his life, his ways, getting the marifat and the love of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, he says, now we smile with one another. We sit and eat together. And also with regard to eating, a very important point, which ulama explained, the eating itself is not the point. But by eating, the friendship that comes about. With who you sit and socialize, you talk, you eat, while eating you are talking, you are joking. That what comes. Therefore, very dangerous to sit and eat with sinners. Non-Muslims is out of the question. That effect is going to come on you. And if a sinner comes to a pious person to benefit from him, then it will benefit him. But sohbat is very, very important. That we see whose company we keep. And from that point where it comes in the hadith, that your food, don't feed but a muttaqi, a pious person. And in the same way, don't eat but by a muttaqi. The thing is not the food. The food may be 100% halal. No question of that. It may be halal and tayyiban. But with who you are sitting and who's on that dastarkhan, who you socialize with, who you sit in your gatherings, where there's no food also. You are just visiting, and who you are at weddings, at walimas, at other places, who our company is. It has a very great effect on a person. So a person must be very careful of that. So anyway, Mufti Shafi Sahib was very young, and Allama Sayyid Sulaiman. But then Allama Sayyid Sulaiman wrote to Mufti Shafi Sahib and asked him for all his articles, which over a period of 6 months he had written, and he said, now it became a booklet form. He sent it to him, and when his islah was made, he went to Maulana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi. He followed the pattern of our Salaf-e-Salihin, our righteous and great elders, that though he gave not only on the question of photo, but other things also, where he had erred and he had made mistakes. And we are not saying he erred and made mistakes. Our great Buzurg said this. But then, and he himself said, I made mistakes. And then he retracted from all this. This is the great quality of the righteous and the pious people. He pulled back all his fatwa on photography also, and he said, I erred in this matter, I made a big mistake, and I now retract, and I also hold the view that it is totally haram. In the same way, Maulana Abul Kalam Azad, who ulama also refer to as Allama Abul Kalam Azad. He was a more liberal type alim, more like modernist in that line, and more political. The minute you become with politics, then you become quite liberal and free in your way of thinking. So he also, in 1919, around that period, he also used to take out a certain magazine, Al-Hilal. And in this magazine, he used to put photos also. And he regarded it also as permissible. Then at that time, somebody, one of his followers, his ardent followers, wrote to him when he was in the Ranchi jail. He was, most probably it was, he was a political prisoner. And he was there in jail. So one of his ardent followers wrote to him. They wrote his life story, his biography, and in there they wanted to put a photo of his in the front of the in this book. They wanted to put a photo of his also. And then he replied to them, and he told them that taking of, this is his words, the translation, taking photos, keeping them, publishing them are all haram. He also totally retracted. And he came clean of it also, that this is totally haram, and that there is no gunjais, no room for it at all. And he said, it was my great mistake that I regarded photography as permissible. And now I'm retracting from it and repenting. And then he said, what his words were, cover my faults. Don't publicize them. He said, like somebody's faults, you come to know, the hadith teachers cover the faults of a person. Say, I made all these mistakes. Now don't publicize my gunas. And don't put my picture there. I'm making tawbah totally. And I regard it as totally haram. All this proves that this photography is totally haram. This is in our recent history of about 100 years, where such great people, and Allah, what made them even more greater, that they had the courage publicly to retract. Today for us to say I made a mistake is very, very hard. There are few people who will be able to admit and say, I made a mistake. And but they retracted. And Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, not only from photography, from other issues also. And this is many other ulama, our Salaf-e-Salihin, where they realized they are wrong, they retracted. So we don't have to repeat the same mistake today. Today, photography, they declare, and they Allama. And what his knowledge was, when he came to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, who was also younger than him. Allama Sayyid Sulaiman was elder, but he made his islah by Maulana Thanwi. When he asked Hazrat one question, Hazrat said, you're a big Allama, what must I tell you? I'm like your student, I'm like your son, what am I going to tell you? But what I heard from my elders, that I will tell you. So how beautifully, what adab they related with each other. So all this proves very clearly that this photography, there is absolutely no room for it. And we as ordinary people, we mustn't worry of its permissibility and not non-permissibility. Leave that to the ulama to discuss. What we must be worried about, that it is haram and I must stay away. How much am I staying away? What photos have I got on my cell phone? How many of us on our cell phone, we have got so many photos. We look at them and no tawbah is that far. Whether it is even some deeny thing, and the picture of some alim also is there, and it's on our phone, then when we are looking at it, we are involved in haram. There is no need to look at it. And if we have got any photo albums, alhamdulillah, some of our friends, presently, we haven't heard, but one of our friends told long ago, when he also heard about all this, he had a photo album, and when they went home, the fire was burning, it was winter, and they threw it in the fire. So if we also can delete all our photos, that is what is required. Repent and stay away from it. And today we are involved in it to make on a daily basis tawbah istighfar from this guna also. All the other gunas also, with our eyes, not photos, just looking around. If we just go a little bit outside, our eyes fall on women. We have to be so careful. So to make tawbah from that also. Ghibat is a guna, we don't think. And for example, to have the love of Allah is one of the first farad in a person. But we haven't got it and we don't think of it as a guna also. We don't make zikr of Allah. We don't think of it as a guna also. So all this, we should become conscious of that. With that, with regard to this terrible guna of photography also. Then a very important aspect in this also, with regard to our recent history, Mufti Taqi Usmani himself narrates that during the last meeting, and that was of just a few days prior to the passing away of Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, just a few days before that, after a few days he passed away, there was a meeting in Pakistan of the Islamic Council of Pakistan. And they were all present there, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, Maulana Mufti Taqi Usmani, and in fact they went together to that meeting. There, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, he was asked to appear on TV. The people who attended there, they asked Allama Yusuf to appear on TV. First on radio, that he agreed, but on TV, that he refused bluntly. And then what he said, that is important. He said, remember one principle of deen, that we are not obligated, it's not farz, it's not wajib upon us to use impermissible means in order to spread deen. And this, from there, this one ayat came to mind, that Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Al-Amiruna bil-Ma'roof wa-Nahuna anil-Munkar. We must do Amar bil-Ma'roof, Nahya anil-Munkar, spread deen, tabligh of deen, tazkir of deen. That is important. And then our Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi should say, very important to realize and understand. Immediately after that, Allah said, Wal-Hafidhuna li-Hududillah. In the tabligh of deen, in tazkir and ta'aleen, in Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahya anil Munkar, keep the commands of Allah in mind. Don't go over the borders of the commands of Allah. You want to, on one occasion, a Jamaat, Tabligh Jamaat, in about the 60s, went to Japan. That time, the whole system of the world was different. When they went to Japan, it was a time, I remember still, you go to the airport and you take the telephone directory. And then you look up some Muslim names in there. Or the hotel room, no question, there were no Muslims. You don't know anyone. The Jamaat went to a place, not like today, where all the arrangements are made before, that you are coming, landing this time. There will be people to pick you up. They are ready, pick you up, they take you. Hot meals are ready. So hot, once we went from Raivin to Karachi, after spending our time in Jamaat, we are coming home. 1 o'clock in the morning, the train got delayed 5 hours for some reason. But 1 o'clock at the station, there was one person who told us, come Maulana, give your baggage. And at that time, our half in our sleep, we did not know who or what, but we just gave our baggage. Then we went off the train, family was with also. Took us to their house, maybe about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, it was winter, and a hot meal was ready. That is now, but in those days, you could forget all that. You go just the Jamaat, and you must sort yourself out. And no one you know, no one knows you. So they should take the telephone directory, and if they find some Muslim name, then they contact that person. And you travel 600-800 kilometers, 2,000 kilometers in one direction to meet one person, and no appointment. If you get him, you get him. Otherwise, you don't get him also. The next day, perhaps you'll travel in another direction for so long. So at that time, the people there, when they made a few acquaintances, they said, you have come for 40 days. And you won't meet 4 people in 40 days also. But if you appear on TV, in 40 minutes you can address the whole nation. Everyone you'll get your message to, Muslims, non-Muslims, everyone. And in 40 minutes, your 6 points which you talk about, easily you can pass it on. So they were Jamaat people. Was a good, strong people. They said, first we'll make Mashura. They contacted Markaz, Nizamuddin that time. And there the reply came, never ever make that mistake. That Deen spreads not by television or anything. Deen will spread one on one. They say the television, that time this explanation they gave to them, it is known, it is a gadget, a thing of fantasy. All funny stories, all films, all lies come on there. And on there you will explain that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu walked with a bag of flour on his back, didn't even allow his slave to carry it. And he cooked the porridge himself for that lady who was in the desert for when her children. They will think all this is fantasy. Storytelling, they won't believe it's the truth. But when they see you personally, and you'll interact with them, and they know who you are, they will believe there is a true thing. This is no fantasy. So this TV is right out of the question, which Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi Allama Yusuf said, is you cannot propagate deen from there. And this is all narrated by Mufti Taqi Usmani. And then they asked him further, this was not on the agenda in their meeting, but just off the agenda, they had some discussion. They asked him that to spread deen, you making a film, and then spreading deen on there, like now the Turkish film that was out, all that. And who are the people who appear there, the actors? They are lesbians, they are homosexuals. They spreading the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And we getting impressed. How many of our people, I learned so much history of Islam. And these type of people, what kind of Islam they going to give you? All these people who got no, they're not Muslims also. They actors. And they just learn their path and their how they must. And we falling for that, unfortunately, how far we haven't gone off the mark. Allah give us tawfiq of tawbah and returning on the right place. So Mona Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali said that those people said, if there is no haram in that film, no immodesty of the woman folk also, they are dressed properly also, then Mona Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali gave this answer. that we are commanded to spread deen according to the commands of Allah. We can't break the commands of Allah and spread deen. And he said that if we do deen's work in the correct way, Anbiya alayhi mustalatu wasalam, stories are so clear. We unfortunately use the word story, but not story, reality. How they propagated deen. And there were those people, Nuh alayhi salam, only 80 people accepted. And his whole community didn't accept. Other Anbiya, not one person accepted. Otherwise, 2-3 people accept. All the Anbiya were successful. The people were unsuccessful. Upholding, وَالْآمِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّاهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ. That's a very important condition in doing any type of deen. Whether it's a khanqa, and we're having women folk also, and they're sitting together, that is haram totally. Or we're having some other evil things taking place in so many khanqas. Or if it's a Darul Uloom, boys and girls sitting together. Whereas today, in our time, a graduation of Bukhari Sharif, and a girl comes forward and she is given her certificate. And boys and girls, they're all sitting together. Men and women. What work of deen is that? Where we are breaking the laws of Allah. So whether it's by TV, you're having a gathering, and you've got a screen for the ladies there. And they are watching the men all year on the screen. All breaking the laws of Allah, that is no work of deen. That's the work of shaitan. We can bluff ourselves, we are doing the work of deen, but we are doing the work of shaitan. So Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali explained this very clearly. So even if only one person or nobody accepts also, still we are successful if we kept up the laws of Allah Ta'ala. And on the other hand, he said, if lot of people, 100 people accept Islam, 1,000, 10,000, people, but we broke the laws of Allah, it's got no value by Allah Ta'ala. Because we broke the laws of Allah Ta'ala. We just looking at the surface things of things. But the reality of it, Maulana explained further, that these are the exact words translated, photography inherently contradicts the injunctions of Islam. Photography inherently conflicts the injunctions of Islam. So he said there is no room for it. Whether it's on the TV, whether it's YouTube, whether it's a film, anything whatsoever. What comes with the photos, it is not permissible at all. And then Maulana said, at that time, this will lead to be hijabi. That woman won't be in parda. Further, and that is if it's Muslim woman. Otherwise the actors on the in films are non-Muslims. They act like Muslims. They have Muslim names and that. But they are, as I said, they are lesbians. They are homosexuals. How can they spread deen? And what deen can we get? But unfortunately, how many of our good people from that Turkish film, they say we learned a lot about deen. How can you learn deen from a lesbian and a homosexual? Then further, there is a woman being used. Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah Ali said, they will use women without parda. And immoral gatherings there will be of music and dancing. And unfortunately, this we're seeing with our eyes. With our eyes, I mean, it's a reality in front of us, which is so true as though we are seeing it. That the radio station, for example, spreading Islam. And on the awards night, they are there with all, where liquor is being served. Where immodest women are serving. All these things are taking place. And this is all in the name of Islam. And spreading Islam. And spreading deen. How can deen spread like that? Allah give us some understanding. Those people who have some understanding, Allah give us some understanding in which direction we are going. Mufti Taqi Usmani then said, and these are his exact words translated. This is the words of Mufti Taqi Usmani. These last advisors of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri, rahmatullah alayhi, which was just a few days before he passed away. He says that these advisors of Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, rahmatullah alayhi, should be inscribed on the heart of every person involved in propagating and spreading deen. That deen cannot spread by haram's way. Whether it's photography, TV, YouTube, films or anything. Mufti Taqi Usmani says that deen cannot spread in these ways. And we all should inscribe these words in gold on our heart. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and we, what our stand should be. So from this aspect also, our recent history, very recent, also it proves clearly that there is no room for photography. And for us it is that not the matter of the masala itself, leave that to the ulama to discuss. But for us it is that we don't get involved in any way. We don't take any photos. Today with the cell phone, smartphone, it's so easy to take a photo. It costs nothing. Before with the camera, it used to cost money. You had to get the film, you have to go and give it in to the chemist. Usually it was that they develop it again. You had to wait days also, and it was expensive also. It wasn't cheap. Now, no cost whatsoever. And anywhere you are, you can just take a photo. And as I explained one time, one of our students took a photo of his wife in a very compromising way. And intentionally, unintentionally, we don't know, but he sent that photo to a friend of his. How terrible. What harm it doesn't cause. So just taking a photo of the cat is sleeping, or your little baby, your grandchild, your wife is sleeping, and you just like it, how peaceful, and you take a photo of it. So all this, keeping the photos, whether it's on our cell phone, or we got photo albums, hard copies, or anything. And we will discuss further that how our elders, they did not allow this photo at all. Only to what was absolutely necessary by law, to that extent. But besides that, how they was totally, it was abhorrent to them, the photo. Allah made that every guna becomes hated in our eyes. That we hate every guna. And we just have a natural inclination to righteous deeds. And that by nature we go towards goodness. And all these gunas, Allah let us understand what are the gunas. And what we are thinking is ibadat, which is actually guna. Spreading deen on the YouTube, etc., on TV, which is totally haram. And we're thinking it's a great ibadat. Allah protect us all from that and guide us to righteousness, inshallah.